Well, I really love Winnipeg, so it's really nice to be here. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Rebecca. And thank you to the Council of Canadians. There's so much to say about what happened in Quebec in 2012. It's something that obviously can't be covered in one evening, but it's something I think that we can start talking about and think about ways that what happened on the streets in Quebec can provoke and inspire a larger discussion in the rest of Canada about how we fight for social change. Certainly what happened in Quebec was a historic moment. I think we don't want to use that term historic lightly. I'm using it with purpose because we often understand what happened as a strike, which it was in a very technical sense. Students voted collectively to strike and to strike back against a plan from a Liberal government in Quebec to reimagine Quebec's relationship to university education and really forcefully push education towards the winds of the free market and move education away from a consensus that has long stood in Quebec society, which has been around education being a public right and education as being something that we could understand more within the same context as our right to healthcare or right to water. Education is an essential thing for life and for society. So really what the Liberal government was trying to do in Quebec was to attack that understanding, that collective support that exists within Quebec society for education as a right. And so it's not a very subtle effort that happened on the part of the previous Liberal government. It was a very pointed, direct attack. And the former finance minister of Quebec described it best when he called their policies a cultural revolution. And that's literally the terms that were being used to describe the neoliberal economics that was being imposed on Quebec society under the Liberal government of Jean Charest. It was a cultural revolution, and that's actually how it was articulated. So it was not only about education and university education, but it was about a re-envisioning of Quebec society and a direct assault on a lot of the institutions that had been won by popular struggles the generation before. So when we're talking about Quebec today, we have to look at it in that historical context of understanding the movements and the struggles that existed in the late 1960s and early 1970s, the period that most people would understand to be the Quiet Revolution. In fact, the period was not quiet at all. I think that term is sort of not accurate at all. I don't like it. But that's how we remember it, the Revolution Tranquille, the Quiet Revolution. But in reality, it was a very turbulent period. It was a period of historic protest. And it was really a period where Quebec society redefined itself. And that period is where the demand and the vision for free university education really took root, and where some of the institutions that were so central to the foundation of the student federations and the strike were formed, right? So that was a period where universities like Université de Québec à Montréal, UQAM, was formed. That was a period where the Cégep system, the colleges, were formed, and it was not institutions that were formed out of the graciousness of the government at the time, right? Like, we can't understand this to be a benevolent act of the state. These were actions that were being taken to try to respond to a revolutionary context. And I think to understand what happened in Quebec in 2012, we have to understand the revolutionary context in Quebec society in the late 1960s and early 1970s. There's a really excellent book that I would strongly recommend on this period of history, which is called The Empire Within, and it's written by a historian named Sean Mills. It's a very excellent book. It's one of the strongest texts I've ever read in English on this period in history. So what the strike of 2012 was really about was trying to attack gains that happened during that period of time, right? So the formation of the UQAM, that university I mentioned, the Université de Québec à Montréal, was really in response to social movements that were demanding for accessible French language university level education, right? Because at the time, huge portions of Quebec society, Francophones, did not have access to education. And so UQAM was created. And from its origins, it was understood that UQAM would be a free university. That was actually understood as being one of the visions that led to the formation of UQAM. That was talked about for decades later. And, you know, I also mentioned the Cégep, the colleges, where, you know, you can go to school for everything from photography to nursing, many trades, excellent educational institutions. Those all remain free until today. But also, it was talked about very openly during this period that universities should be free. And that was sort of a broader sort of support and consensus started developing for that idea in Quebec society during that time. So when we talk about the strike in 2012, it wasn't simply looking at the issue of the neoliberal hike on tuition that was happening and certainly was part of the whole austerity agenda that we're seeing in Quebec, but also across Canada and globally speaking. But it was also an attempt to attack that idea of Quebec universities being free. So underlying that demand to halt the tuition hike was the demand that most students were asserting on the streets creatively, which was the demand for universities to be free and accessible, universally accessible. So I think that's really important to highlight. So this strike also, we can see that it was a very creative strike. You know, Rebecca was talking about the fusion of art and politics within Quebec society. That's a very essential part to any mobilization, any movement, any assertion of struggles for social change in Quebec in recent years, but also historically. So the strike was very creative, very brave, and very, very artistic in nature. At a very basic level, I think we can understand the Red Square as an artistic symbol because of its imagination. You know, it can mean so many things, and it draws on so many historical references, whether it's the color, whether it's the collective act of everybody wearing the Red Square, the conversations that opens up in society. It's a very broad symbol. So there's the artistic history of social movements in Quebec that asserted itself during the strike, most certainly. So when we understand the Quebec movement, we have to understand that what was happening was also an assertion of a different vision of Quebec society in 2012 on the streets. It wasn't only about tuition. It wasn't only about universities. It was about confronting capitalism. It was about confronting the free market vision that values Mother Earth and everything as a product to be bought and sold on the marketplace, that values rivers as commodities, that values trees as products, that envisions the environment as something that is to be understood as totally controlled by free market economics. On the streets, we saw demands around the environment. We saw demands also targeted the work of multinational corporations. So really, the vision was much broader, and I think it's really important to understand that, because when we talk about the way the strike was conveyed and conceived and articulated in the mainstream media across Canada, and I'm sure most people in this room were following to a degree, you know, social media and alternative media, but I think it's really important to convey that what happened was not about tuition. It was about a broader, actually revolutionary vision of Quebec society that was articulated in many different complex ways. So I wanted to talk a bit about the ASSE, which is an association that I find fascinating, inspiring, frustrating, many things. But it's an institution that I've been around and I've worked with on different projects for quite some time now. The ASSE means the Association pour une solidarité syndicale étudiant, so the Association of Solidarity Between Students Unions, Federations. And so The key point that we, I think, when we understand the assay and the creative spirit on the streets of Montreal, is that it's a union in the sense that, you know, you have members of that union, you have general assemblies, you have, you know, meetings where very specific issues are addressed, you know, whether it's about finances or electing a council, etc. So it's a union in that sort of sense. But it's very different and rooted a bit of, in that Quebec history I was talking about, because it's a union structure that embraces the idea of combative unionism or syndicalisme de combat. So like this idea that unions should not be negotiating with state power or corporate power, but that unions are rooted in their own power that is asserted through popular movements and actions on the street. That union power is asserted through popular mobilizations of people, you know. And it's a very important and different vision of unions. And, you know, when we talk about unions today in Canada, unfortunately, often the focus is more on negotiating in the halls of power, not confronting the decisions being made in the halls of power on the streets, right? And it's a very different vision of how we assert our power collectively, right? So the assay is this very interesting, I think, to think about when we talk and we reflect and we organize in Canada about how are we going to confront the monolith of disaster that is the conservative nightmare of the Conservative Party of Canada. So how do we organize, right? And I'm not saying the assay is a perfect model. It's not at all. It's a student group. But I think the structures and the processes are interesting and important to reflect on. You know, the assay now has about 60,000 members and various committees, and they function through direct democracy. And, you know, that term can mean many things. But I think as activists and organizers, it's important to just highlight what that means a bit in terms of direct democracy. What actually does that mean? And I would like to draw a distinction between a popular movement that we saw, let's say, in 2011, which was on the streets throughout the United States, which we understood to be the Occupy movement, you know, which was a movement of movements, and many issues and injustices were being addressed through that movement. But, you know, for example, in Zuccotti Park in New York City, and I was lucky enough to be there a few times in October 2011 when Occupy Wall Street really had a certain momentum and was really an interesting and dynamic and inspiring moment. But the reason I'm bringing this up in relation to the student strike is because I saw the General Assemblies taking place, you know, and they were really beautiful in a way. But they were open, public General Assemblies with, at one of them I went to, was about 500 people, maybe more, actually probably more, within the park, right? And I think it was beautiful in the sense it illustrated a certain horizontal, autonomous approach to organizing, in that everybody was given a voice and everybody could vote. But there was also problems that and challenges that were faced, because in that context, we had a situation where, you know, there was, you know, issues being brought up that maybe a few people really wanted to address, but did not have the support of the larger group. Or, for example, how do you define a membership when the membership is very fluid? How do you get a momentum going when people are going to one assembly and not going to the next assembly? I'm not having any answers to these questions, but I think they're things we think about a lot, right? Like, how do you define like a solid, consistent organizing space without having the sort of hierarchy that we want to deconstruct, right? So the reason I mention all this is because I think the student context and the organizing is interesting because it is much more democratic than a traditional union or, you know, traditional sort of hierarchical structures of organizing, and in the sense that it's run through general assemblies. So I remember often, you probably saw it in the news here, when the assay was pressured by the CBC or the Globe and Mail or CTV to denounce different, you know, types of demonstrations that were taking place, because, you know, on the streets of Quebec, you had so many different imaginative, creative actions, but you also had actions that were more direct actions. And everything that class said, had to go through the General Assembly. So at times it was a very challenging process, right? Because no major decision could be made without a real discussion taking place. But at the same time, non-students couldn't just go to those assemblies and start speaking their minds and, you know, saying that they wanted to vote also. You know, so I think that was sort of frustrating and interesting, right? Because the student strike at a certain point became not about students only. It was about, as I was mentioning before, a broader critique of society. So everybody wanted to participate. But ASSE was faced with this very big challenge, I think, which was about trying to come to terms with the fact that it became a broader social movement, right? So the point I'm trying to make on this is that the assembly model is very interesting. There's problems with it when you have the open assembly model, but I think the direct democracy structure of the class, which is more a federation structure, was very interesting.